It is truly a great privilege to be able to take this time to come out this way and to share God's word with you. I pray that each and every one of you have come here with an open mind, willing to receive God's word. And if there's anything I say in a lesson that you don't understand, please feel free to ask me after the lesson, and I try my best to explain to you. I hate for people to leave all being confused about the lesson itself. And what's amazing is that as a minister, I could get up and prepare lessons, fresh lessons, 2 per week. But when it comes to going somewhere and preaching a gospel meeting, the whole ball game changes. Because out of all the lessons that are presented, I got to pick out 5 or so to present for this meeting itself. And that was a very difficult task for me. It was so difficult, it came down to the point in which I wrote Bruce a letter, sent Bruce a list of several outlines, said, Bruce, you pick them. Next thing I know, I got a phone call. Robert, you pick them. So it's a situation in which I needed help. What lesson would be beneficial to the congregation itself? And then I received a flyer in the mail. And it was amazing how, when I looked at the flyer, I realized, what were you expecting? You expecting I-S-E. And you may ask, well, what in the world is I-S-E? Well, in my mind, I immediately think about, Now, if 3 days in the meeting, I see 3 letters, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to dedicate Friday to instruction, I'm going to dedicate Saturday to strength, then I'm going to dedicate Sunday to encouragement. Because if you look on the flyer itself, when the invitation was sent out to other congregations, the invitation was stating, come and share the word of God with us for instruction, strength, and encouragement. Now, when you think about these lessons, the purpose of these lessons is to edify. Now, when you think about the word edify means to build. How many of you would expect to build a house on a shaky foundation? Of course not. We realize if we tried to build a house on a shaky foundation, that house would not stand. Now, when you think about our spiritual lives, we have a responsibility as Christians to build our spiritual lives, to build that spiritual house. And when we build that spiritual house, we must have that solid foundation. Now, this series has been dedicated to edifying the body of Christ. Now, when you think about edifying the body of Christ, the first lesson is going to be dealing with a foundation. A foundation that if we take heed to, then the other lessons will just build on to the foundation itself. Now, in the title of our lesson for this evening is Take Heed How You Hear. Take heed how you hear. Now, we're going to be dealing with 3 different points concerning what does it mean to take heed, or how can we take heed what we hear. First of all, by hearing the right thing. We hear things every single day of our lives. Walk out the door, walk out the house, listen to our wives, listen to our children. We hear things. But when you deal with building a spiritual body, we must hear the right thing. Not only that, you can sit up here and listen to my mouth move. You can sit up here and listen to words coming out of my mouth. But what we must be willing to do is listen to the message. When I present God's word to you, it's more than just words. There is a message behind the words that are being spoken. Another thing to consider is that when you listen to the words, you must be willing to take heed by doing what you have learned. And those are 3 points that we're going to be dealing with. Now, the thought for our lesson comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, beginning of verse 11. Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 11. Take heed how you hear. I smell something burning up. I guess it's the machine hadn't been on. What is it? Okay. Okay, Luke chapter 8, and let's notice verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, when you think about this particular passage of scripture, it's dealing with the hearts of men. There are 4 different hearts that a person can have when they hear the word of God. Now, when you think about the 4 different hearts that a person can have, picture a field. And in that field, you have a road, a pathway. That pathway has been trodden down. It's become hard as a rock. Matter of fact, it's hard as a brick. Like when you go and try to dig at that place, it would not dig at all. You can't break the ground in that particular spot. So what this first one is dealing with is that when the word of God falls upon a hardened heart, the seed itself would not go into the ground. What would happen? The birds in the air will come and pick up the seed and go on by this way. So when you look at verse, the first heart, the heart is dealing with the fact of those that fell by the wayside. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. How many individuals have we seen in our own lifetime? About individuals, listen to the word of God. They're so eager. They obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see so much zeal. And then 2 months down the road, where are they? They know where to be found. They seem to just spurt up, growing like wildfire. But then all at once, they fall away. Why is that? They had no root. And that's the second part dealing with. Now, if you think about a field once again, here we have individual planting, and the ground itself looks good. But there are rocks. And what happens is there's a small level of good earth, but rocks underneath, so the roots are not able to take ground. So what happens? When they face trials and tribulation, they fall away. Then the scripture goes on to explain the third one in verse 14. But the ones that fell among the thorns are those when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Referring to the fact of individual going out. You've seen plants try to grow. Here we have this nice little plant trying to grow. But there are weeds all around the plant itself. What happens when a good plant tries to grow among weeds? The weeds themselves will choke it out. This is referring to an individual who hears the word of God. And he allows the cares of this world to take the word of God away from him, cause him to fall back unto the world itself. Now notice how we've dealt with three different examples of hearts. We've dealt with three different examples of individuals who have fell away from the truth or not even accepted the truth. But let's notice the fourth example, because that's where we want to be. We want to take a look at the fourth example in verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground. Now notice that. That good ground, that good heart, are those who haven't heard the word with a noble and good heart. Keep it. Bear fruit with patience. And that's our objective during this meeting, is to bear fruit with patience, to have that good heart, to receive the word of God and to multiply and build up our spiritual bodies. Verse 16, no one who has lit a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, in verse 18, take heed how you hear. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So this lesson is designed to provide a foundation that if we put these principles in mind, then all the other lessons will fall into place. Because you're going to realize that the lessons are following a sequence, and the foundation is first. Man may argue that we can't help what or how he hears. But Jesus teaches otherwise and commands us to take heed how you hear. Now notice how this is not a suggestion, as some may think. This is a command of the Lord. The Lord is telling us to take heed how we hear the word of God. And when we take heed to hear, we must take heed by hearing the right thing. Now let's take a look at for a moment the road of life. Within that road of life, within the path in which we as Christians are traveling, our spiritual lives are traveling upon that road. But every once in a while, we come to a roadblock in our lives. You've seen situations which individuals have been Christian for 40, 50 years. They have faced a roadblock. What causes that roadblock? Ignorance causes the roadblock. I'm not talking about being stupid. That's not what the word ignorance means. Ignorance is defined as the condition of being without knowledge. How many of you would be willing to take a trip across country, going to a place you've never been before, without a road map? That's what you're talking about. When you think about how a Christian is going down the pathway, the road of life itself, that spiritual life, and failing to heed to the words of God. So ignorance is defined as a condition of being without knowledge. It could be willful or unintentional, but the end result of either case is darkness and sin. We have a command from God to take heed how we hear. We must hear the right thing. Where ignorance is the roadblock which will hinder many from becoming a friend of Jesus. Why would it hinder us? It will hinder us because it enslaves men to error and hinder the possibility of enjoying a rich life of service unto God. Think about for a moment. If you fail to pick up your Bible and study, I could claim to stand up here and present the Word of God, and you wouldn't know whether I'm presenting the Word of God or not. Sometimes when you think about how members sit back and they sit up and listen to the preacher or whoever's presenting the Word of God, do you just stop and verify and make sure that the individual is saying the right thing? When you think about how many sermons I've presented in the past, I've made mistakes. But I'm glad to hear that there are members out in the audience who realized the mistake that I have made concerning my understanding of Pastor Scripture, came to me and explained what it was. I researched it on the Scriptures themselves and found out, yes, I had made a mistake on my understanding of that Pastor Scripture. So you are to help me, I'm to help you. We're to work together to encourage one another toward the spiritual goal of eternal life. And let's not allow ourselves to be hindered from enjoying the great service with God. Because when you think about the Old Testament, we must learn from their mistakes. We're looking at a nation that had been chosen by God to become his chosen people. But then the prophet Hosea gives us a sad commentary concerning the chosen people of God. How that the chosen people of God were without knowledge. During their life, they were going down that road, that pathway itself. They ran into a roadblock. What was that roadblock? That roadblock was ignorance itself. They had the map book. They had the word of God. They had the law of Moses. But they never went to the law of Moses to find out the pathway to get through the roadblock itself. So God began to tell them in Hosea 4, 1 through 6, how that I'm going to reject you from being my people. When you consider Paul's attitude toward the Israelites, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3, he said, my desire is for Israel to be saved. That's what I want. If I had to give up my own life, if it meant giving up my own life, I'll be willing to give up my own life so that Israel could be saved. That's how much love Paul had for the nation of Israel. He even said they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. What do you mean, Paul? He's talking about ignorance. They have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge. Paul explains what he means. Rather than them taking heed to the words of God, they have gone about and established their own form of righteousness. Now notice how they were not listening to the right thing. So when we deal with this roadblock of ignorance itself, knowledge is the key to overcoming the roadblocks which hinders a person from becoming a friend of Jesus. You know the words of our Lord when he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Have you ever just stopped to reverse that? If you don't know the truth, you can't be made free. If you don't obey the truth, you can't be made free. Think about that for a moment. God has provided us freedom through through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, provided us with this word to provide us with guidance on how to obtain salvation itself. But if we fail to do so, we cannot be made free. Now think about it for a moment. If we're not made free, that means we'll be still under the burden of sin itself. Another thing to consider is this. If we as Christians are misled, we are condemning ourselves because we have a way to check everything that we hear. Do you realize that if you allow error to be taught, that you are condemning yourselves? You have a responsibility to make sure that you hear the right thing. And that's a point that we must all take in consideration. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 13 through 14, Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Now in verse 13, Jesus says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. So often individuals like to put all the responsibility upon the elders, all the responsibility upon the preacher to make sure they're hearing the right thing. Now, and the preacher may stand up and start presenting the so-called word of God, but you don't know if he's presenting the word of God because you're not studying. But he's up here presenting a message itself. He's telling you to do things, and you go out and do it without even verifying if it's the word of God. You're following the words of this man. Now, let's notice what Jesus says about the situation in verse 14. Because so often, individuals, when confronted with this, well, my preacher said, well, let's notice how. If you listen to the words of the preacher without verifying with the word of God, Jesus says in verse 14, let them alone if they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, that leader's going to fall into the ditch. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says both shall fall into the ditch. So keep that point in mind, that if we allow ourselves to follow error, then we will face the consequence. And the way we can overcome that is knowledge itself. When Paul said unto Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But how can we be sure that we're hearing the right thing? When you consider everyone, including denominations, claim that they are coming from the word of God. So how can we be sure that we're giving or hearing the right thing? Well, God gives us a great example with the Berean Christians who went to God's word to verify whether Paul was teaching the truth. And that's exactly what we need to do today. Now, when you think about the right message, my purpose up here is not to get up here and entertain you. But my purpose as a minister of Jesus Christ is to stand before you and present a message. And the message that I'm presenting is the gospel itself. The right message is the gospel because it's the only way to learn about Jesus and his salvation. I can stand up here and give you a message about what I had for dinner, which was a great dinner. I can tell you about that. But that's not the message that's going to give you life. Now let's notice how in the book of John, chapter 6, beginning verse 43, John chapter 6, and let's notice verse 43. Now in John 6, 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How do we learn from the Father? The written word of God, which is revealed through his holy prophets and apostles. When you think about the gospel produces faith, which is necessary to please God. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but are we as Christians ashamed of the gospel? Have you ever just stopped and think about what the word ashamed mean? Most people don't quite understand what the word ashamed mean. Do you realize if you don't take a stand for the truth, you're actually being ashamed of the gospel itself? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? It is the power of God. Think about our own lives. We're faced with a situation. Someone may be telling a dirty joke. We're working together with these individuals. Now, what happens? Rather than me walking away, or rather than me saying, well, I'm not comfortable with that joke, so I stand back. Rather than doing anything, what do? Sit right there and listen to that nasty joke. That's being ashamed of the gospel. That's not taking a stand for the truth. That's not listening to the right things. Jesus calls mankind through the gospel to come to him, to die to sin, and to live for him. Take heed how you hear. You take heed by listening to the message. Everyone here who does not have a problem with hearing is able to hear the message that I'm saying right now. You hear words, but are you listening to the message itself? It's amazing how an individual could sit in the audience, look at my mouth move, listen to a sound, but they have no idea what the message is all about. What they're doing is they're looking at the watch. And Paul is saying, well, in such and such time, he's going to be sitting down. That's not listening to the message itself. We as Christians, we have a responsibility to listen to the words and listen to the message itself. We need to listen to God's word on a constant basis. Now, when you consider how individual having a table spread with food, I mean, all this food from, it could be hamburgers, it could be steaks, it could be whatever it is, but we have a table full of food. Do you realize we cannot digest all that food in one sitting? That's where we must look at the word of God. We must feast upon the word of God, but realize we can't digest the word of God in one city. It requires us to constantly come back to the word of God and study on a daily basis. You cannot digest all the truth of the Bible in one city. It must be read, reread, and read again in order to get a better understanding of its meaning. Now, those of you who study the word of God on a daily basis, when you think about Bruce as well as myself, here we have the situation of studying God's word. There's a passage of scripture we had an understanding of. Now notice how, the more we read that passage of scripture, the more we meditate upon that passage of scripture, do you realize what takes place? The more understanding comes out of that passage of scripture. It's amazing how when I try to go back to an old sermon, it's hard for me to go back to an old sermon. If you'll notice how, when I sent, this may be one of the ones I had sent to Bruce, the message that I sent to Bruce is not the same one I'm presenting tonight. Why? Because my understanding has grown since the last time I presented that message. Matter of fact, I changed the whole thing around, just kept the outline itself. Because notice how, when you think about, when we meditate upon the word of God, that increases our understanding. Because it could have been a situation in which when we study God's word, we go to a passage of scripture that helps us understand another passage of scripture. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Psalms chapter 1, and let's begin with verse 1. The psalmist begins by saying, blessed is the man. When you look at that word blessed referring to a happiness, a blissful happiness. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What is the attitude that we as Christians ought to have? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm happy to look out into the audience and see individuals who put out their daily schedule to put aside time to come here and study the word of God. It is happy for me to look out and see individuals who have a delight in the word of God. And notice how, and in his law, he meditates day and night. Think about the word meditate for a moment. We've heard individuals say, I read the Bible from the front to the back. But what understanding did you get? How much meditation did you put upon the word of God? Now, when you think about the word meditate refers to thinking about the message that is being presented. Thinking about how that message can be applied to your life. Verse 3, this is what's going to happen. Your lifestyle is going to change. When you listen to the word of God and apply God's word to your life, your lifestyle will change. Notice in verse 3, he, referring to that blessed man who listened to the word of God and meditated upon the word of God, he shall be like a tree. Now think about a tree for a moment. How many of you, no matter how strong you are, can go over and push over a tree? How many of you could go and get your vehicle and push over a tree? Do you realize that when we listen to the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, and we grow, that we're going to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that's constantly receiving the nourishment, that's presenting roots that will not be pushed down when a strong wind comes? That's the way we're to be in our spiritual lives. And the way that comes about is through the message that's being presented, the Word of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, referring to the nourishment that bring forth its fruits in its due season. Think about how trees bring forth fruits in its due season. How can that be applied to us in a spiritual manner? If you think about trees that bring forth fruits in its due season, the way I look at that passage of scripture is that we'll be a tree planted by the water, receiving all the nourishment and bringing forth fruits according to the plan of God. Think about that for a moment. Getting all this nourishment from the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in the due season. Who set up the season? God set up the season. So bringing forth fruits according to the plan that God has laid down, whose leaf also shall not wither. Now notice the minute of the tree itself. Going to the leaf itself shall not wither. Why? Because it's getting nourishment. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. Referring to in a spiritual manner, we shall receive prosperity. So we have a situation in which listening to the right message. Sometimes we're guilty for going to hear a certain man preach because of who the man is rather than the message that he brings. Let us not be found guilty of that. When we go and support a gospel meeting, let us go and support the meeting itself. Support the message that's being presented rather than supporting the man. Because anyone can stand before you, but the message should always be the same, the gospel itself. When you think about an individual who's going to hear a man rather than the message itself, such a motive hinders the personal profit to the hearer. To listen acceptably, we must hear with an open mind, ready to accept the message preached after confirming it to be from the Word of God. I like the words of the Apostle Paul concerning the message that he preached. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 1. Anyone who has any desire of teaching God's word, anyone who has any desire of publicly presenting God's word, should look at Paul's message, his method of presenting God's word. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 2, but I determine this within myself. Notice the determination of the Apostle Paul as he presented God's word, that I will not come to you in sorrow, but if I make you sorrow, then who is he who makes me glad? But the one who was made sorrowful by me. And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those whom I ought to have joy. Having confidence in you, all my joy is in the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you may know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Do you realize what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5? Paul is saying that I'm stepping on your toes. Now notice how so often it is very difficult for us to point out the mistakes of our brother. But when it comes to presenting God's word, you must take a firm stand. Now notice how Paul is stepping on their toes, but he's stepping on their toes with love. Paul's saying you're going to become sorrowful when you hear this message. But notice how later on it's going to bring forth joy. Why would it bring forth joy? Because they're going to make a change in their life. When you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Consider how, when the Apostle Paul came to them, he was not going to try to encourage, not, I don't want to use the word encourage, but he want to impress the ones who listened to his message with big words. What did he do? Verse 2, for I determined once again not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's the gospel is all about? Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What sort of power? When you think about it, the apostles were given special powers such as performing miracles themselves. But not only that, but notice how the power of God's word to make a change in individual lives. An individual who used to be an evil person, but their ways have been changed. When you look at the Apostle Paul is going around persecuting Christians. But the word of God changed his life. He went from being a murderer to a person that gives life unto lost souls. Why in verse 5? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we have listening to the message. And last but not least, take heed how you hear. When you hear the rest of this gospel message throughout the week, at least the next couple of days, we must take heed. How do you hear? By doing what is learned. Although knowledge, which is the key to true wisdom, is important, it will be of no benefit unless you use it to unlock the right door. Think about that simple example for a moment. Here we have a roadblock. The key to that roadblock is knowledge itself. I could give you the Bible. And when I give you the Bible, you have the knowledge that you need. You have the key. But the thing about it is this. You have to use the key to be beneficial to you. You're sitting here listening to the message of God's word. In order for this to be beneficial to you, you must do what God's word commands you to do. So notice how, although knowledge is the key to true wisdom, it will be of no benefit unless you use it to unlock the right door. Many people will have the key of knowledge, but they will fail to use it properly. Jesus gave us an example in the book of John, chapter 12, and let's notice verse 42. John chapter 12, and let's notice verse 42. When you look at this passage of scripture, did these rulers have the knowledge? And you'll find out, yes, they did have the knowledge. Did they use the knowledge to unlock that door of ignorance? No, they did not. So what happened? That roadblock remained in verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Think about that for a moment. They believed in him. They believed that he was from God. They believed he was a teacher from God. They believed he was the Son of God. That's knowledge. But let's notice, what did they do with that knowledge? The scripture goes on to say, but, there's that three-letter word that caused so much confusion in the world today. But, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here we have individuals having that key, but not using that key properly. The Apostle Paul spoke to Titus in the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 16. Titus, chapter 1, and let's notice verse 16. Do you realize that Paul was writing to Christians? When he stated in verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So let's not stand before and profess. Let's do it. Discipleship is based upon doing what is learned, not just learning itself. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" When you think about the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Jesus gave his life for the entire world. But yet the scripture teaches us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, that he became obedient through his suffering, and that he became the author of eternal life. To who? To all those who obey him. When you look back on the time in which we obeyed the gospel, that was the greatest time of our life, because that's when life began, when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we must realize that's the beginning and not the end. We're to add on to that life itself. God gave us the gift of eternal life through his Son when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice how, in order for us to maintain that eternal life, it's important for us to go to the Word of God and feast upon the Word of God and grow in a spiritual manner. In the book of James, chapter 1, beginning of verse 22, James chapter 1, and let's notice verse 22. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Because if you're hearers only, James says, you are deceiving yourselves. He goes on to explain in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Notice the simple analogy. Notice the simple illustration that James is using. And James is applying this to Christians. Notice how he's comparing God's word to a mirror. If we want to know how we look, what do? We go to a mirror. If we want to know how our spiritual life is coming about, we go to the spiritual mirror, which is God's word. But there's a problem that James speaks about. You know where to go. You know you go to the mirror and find out, what is the problem with my life? What do I need to correct in my life? James says when a man goes to the mirror, he looks into that mirror and he realizes that he needs a serious shave. But what does he do? Rather than shaving and changing his appearance, changing his life, he puts the mirror down and goes about and forgets what kind of man he was. Think about the necessity of doing, being a doer of God's word. We have to pick up that mirror because we want to know how we look. But when we look into that mirror and the mirror tells us that we need to do something with our life, in order for that mirror to be beneficial to us, we must be willing to do it. That's the analogy that James is using in this passage of scripture. So this man goes about and forgets what kind of man he was. But in verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," and notice this, "continues in it." How many men can sit up there and shave one time? He looks into the mirror, he needs to shave, and he shaves. And he does not have to shave anymore. That's not going to happen. Two or three days down the road, maybe one day down the road, you got to shave again. What is James saying? We got to continue looking into that mirror. Well, I looked into the mirror last month. I looked pretty good during that. It doesn't work that way. James says, continue looking into the perfect law of liberty. Continue looking into that mirror. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So notice how James has given us the simple message of doing what we have learned. Christianity is a teaching life. We become Christian because we receive his teaching and we live the Christian life by continuing to do what is learned. So often when you think about Jesus' commission unto his disciples, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And notice how in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, notice how when Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, in verse 20, he states, teaching them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So we must become a doer of the word. John further explains the necessity of being a doer of the word in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. 1 John, chapter 1, and let's begin with verse 5. He says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, if we give that lip service, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but our manner of life is in darkness of sin, we lie and do not practice the truth." But in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And notice the beautiful blessing and promise that he's given us. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son." And look at the word cleanses. That refers to a continual cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. When you think about the message that we have the gospel itself. We have the privilege of being able to look into the word of God. Looking at the examples of the first century Christians. How did the first century Christians, they preached the gospel in spite of severe persecution from the other Jews. Now notice how sometimes we as Christians, we don't really teach others. We don't really share God's word with others because we're afraid of hurting the feelings of others. We're afraid of being rejected. That's normal. That's human being. But we have to overcome our human weaknesses, become strong, and share God's word with others. Now let's consider how they had a responsibility during this time of going out preaching God's word. It's easy for us to look at the examples of these individuals such as Stephen. Look at the examples of Paul and say, we don't have the same power as Paul and Stephen. They had spiritual gifts. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. We don't have the same power as them. Now notice this. Although we are not directly guided by the Holy Spirit, we are indirectly guided by the Holy Spirit through the written word of God. What do I mean by that? Well, what we have here is that how did God reveal his written word unto man? Well, we have God in heaven. God, through the Holy Spirit, revealing to the apostles, revealing to the prophets. And these holy men wrote down the word of God itself. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. Then we have the mind of men. When the mind of men goes to the word of God and obeys God's word, then what have we become? We're being indirectly guided by the Holy Spirit through the written word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, let's notice verse 12. Romans chapter 8. And let's notice verse 12. Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." How are we led by the Spirit of God? There's nothing miraculous about the Holy Spirit leading us. How are we led by the Spirit of God? Through the written word of God. Verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And notice in verse 16. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." How does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? Not anything miraculous, but the Holy Spirit reveal the written word of God, and we obey the written word of God. And through the written word of God, the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Yes, God intends for us to hear, but we must take heed how we hear. We must hear the right things, and we must be willing to investigate to make sure that this message is coming from the Word of God. And once we hear that message, we must be willing to obey it. When you think about our responsibility as Christians, we have the Word of God. What we need to do is just stop and meditate. What does it mean to have the Word of God? We have the power of God within our hands through the written pages themselves. Do you realize that we